There is a man who few expected to capture the nation's hearts just shy of 30 years ago, and fewer would have expected him to embody the Olympic mantra and become a worldwide phenomenon as he followed his dreams. That man, of course, is Eddie the Eagle Edwards. Eddie the Eagle Edwards, thank you for joining me on Radio City Talk.
Hello.
How is the pandemonium and the way in which something like this gathers pace, how does that sit with you?
It's still there, and my feet haven't touched the ground since about beginning of January this year, and I think I've got a day off in September next year, but at the moment it's great fun. I'm travelling all over the world, meeting lots of interesting people and doing lots of interesting things.
Right, so the story itself, I don't know what to do with this, right? I've seen the film, right? I'll give you my opinion and stuff on it very shortly.
Yep.
But I don't know what to do. How deep do I go into this? Because I really don't want to do the spoiler thing for anybody who isn't aware of the story. But what do you think? Do enough people know about it for us to sort of at least hit on some of the big topics?
I guess so, yes. Because, you have to be over, 35, I suppose, to remember what happened 28 years ago. So kids and teenagers and even people in their 20s wouldn't have been around, at the time that I plummeted off those ski jumps in Calgary 28 years ago.
So you were initially, what were you? You were a speed skater. Speed skier, beg your pardon. Why did you change over?
I did it mainly because of cost. I ran out of money, and I was an alpine ski racer. I started skiing at school at 13, started racing, doing slalom and GS, and got my international license to race for Great Britain. I was in America racing and ran out of money, and I saw the ski jumps, and we've never had a ski jumper before. So ski jumping was cheaper, but I also realised that we've had lots of alpine skiers, cross-country skiers, biathlon skiers, but never a jumper. So there was a gap in the market. I thought, I'll give it a go, see what happens. And 20 months later, I was at the Calgary Olympics being Britain's first ever jumper.
How, Eddie the Eagle Edwards, did this happen? You shouldn't have been there. Finances alone and the way in which you had to live your life and eat and train as an athlete, you couldn't do any of those things. You were broke.
I was. I slept in the car. I slept in cow sheds. I slept in barns. I slept in a mental hospital. I scraped food out of bins. I begged, borrowed and stole equipment. I was very resilient and, I didn't know where my next meal was coming from half the time. But I never gave up on my dream of getting to those Olympic Games. And I finally managed to do it. And for me, getting there, it didn't matter that I came last. I knew that I was going to come last. I'd only been jumping for 20 months. Everybody else had been jumping for 20 years, but for me, getting there was my gold medal, and I was so pleased and proud to go to those Olympic Games.
So the powers that be at the time in the British Olympic Council, or was it the British Winter Olympic Council?
British Olympic Association.
They didn't really want this guy who didn't have any money, didn't have any massive experience, didn't have any equipment, didn't really want you heading to the Olympics to represent Great Britain, did they?
They didn't. The British Ski Federation set a criteria that they thought he'll never get there, and I managed to do it. And then the British Olympic Association, especially when I got to Calgary, they didn't like what was happening. I became Eddie the Eagle, got christened Eddie the Eagle. I was getting more attention than the guy who won the event. They said, this is not right, it's going against all the rules and regulations, and they wanted to see the end of me. And the International Ski Federation actually brought out new rules after Calgary, and in America they call it the Eddie the Eagle rule, and so I got banned from all international competition. I got kicked off the British team and the British Olympic team, and that was it. And they were determined to see the back of me.
So after the Olympics, despite the fact that some people sort of said, no, you don't fit. This is one of the things that was said at the very end of the Olympics. Frank King, he said in his speech at the end of said Olympic Games, you've broken world records, you've established personal best, and some of you even soared like an eagle.
That's right.
I will be 100% honest with you. When I watch the movie, it's probably the first time a tear has come to my eye in about 2 or 3 years. I physically can hold my hands up here as a rather macho male. I cried. Absolutely cried. What an amazing movie. Tell me about the journey and how you got the movie in the pipeline and actually made.
Yeah, it was 17 years ago, nearly 18 years ago, that I signed the deal to make this film. And through one thing or another, I signed it to a very, very small company. They had to try and find the money, find a director, find somebody to play me. And the project kept stalling. And I just said, just give me a call when you start making it. And I got on with the rest of my life. And then Matthew Vaughan bought the rights. He rang me up and said, we've got Taron Egerton, who's playing you. We've got Hugh Jackman and Christopher Walken and all these guys. I sat down with Dexter, the director, went through the key points in my life story again. And I was out on set a few times and watched them. And then we had a private screening back in January this year. And I invited 50 family and friends. We went to see it and we all cried coming out. It was amazing. And I've seen the film 10 times and I still cry when I see it.
Your amazing promotional team have sent me a DVD copy of it and says, watch the film. And I went, I don't have to. I don't. I haven't seen my missus in a couple of days. She's been away working. So tonight, the plan is home, bag of popcorn and the second viewing of the Eddie the Eagle movie. It's been so long in the making that, like, Steve Coogan and Rupert Grint, they were two people that were were they penciled to play you in earlier renditions of this?
They were, yes. And Simon Pegg was approached a few times to play me, but he refused. But yeah, Rupert Grint, Steve Coogan, I think even Robbie Williams was penciled in originally. But I'm so glad they got Taron. He did such a good job. He looked just like I looked 28
it
years
ago. It is freaky.
And he did the jobs, and it made the film so easy to watch for me because he played me so well. And I was very worried that they would either turn me into a superhero or worse, a clown or a joke. But they really kept quite close to my life story. They really captured the essence and the heart and the spirit of my story. I can't wait for it to come out. And all those people who couldn't afford or didn't get a chance to go and see it at the cinema, I'm hoping they'll either stream it down or get the DVD and watch the film. And I think they'll be pleasantly surprised, and I wouldn't be too surprised if a few tears were released by men and women when they watch it.
So it's a superb piece of work. It's a little Hollywoodized. So what would you say about anybody who's going to go and get their hands on the DVD or watch it? How should they approach it as a viewer? And what would you say to somebody who's just about to watch it?
I think they should just take it for what it is. And, I think they'll be pleasantly surprised by the whole story and the making of the film. And I'm sure they'll love it. And it might make them cry.
And you know what? It did me. And I'm delighted to say it did. Eddie the Eagle Edwards, I know you're up against it time-wise. Thank you so much for your time and your endeavour. And can I just say good luck with everything? And I hope you don't get a day off for the next couple of years.
Thank you very much.
Hope the money keeps rolling in.
Oh,
and
you're
just lining the queen up at the side of the bed, just going lining the £20 notes up. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you.
Cheers, bud.
Bye-bye.